Good evening. I mentioned this morning in class about tonight's lesson just briefly, and that it is the lesson that I preached last Sunday morning in Kasanga. Point being that it doesn't matter where you are, whether it's a beautiful building like ours, or concrete building that has open windows and concrete floor, and dirt everywhere, whether it is a highly educated audience, or whether it is people that struggle to get any education whatsoever, whether it is people with money, or people who do not make in a year what some of us spend on a pair of shoes, the gospel is the same. And the sermon I can preach to you tonight, I preached exactly the same way last Sunday, and it helped them, and I hope and pray that it'll help you. But the wonder of the gospel, you know, it is for every person, no matter where they're from, no matter their socioeconomic or race they are, the gospel is something for each person. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 25, and that's a text we know well. We often read this text before we partake of the Lord's Supper on Sunday mornings. Paul says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus in the night in which He was betrayed took bread. When He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'This is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, He took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" You know, Jesus was the greatest person to have ever lived on this earth. Everything about Him was great. His work was great. His influence was great. His power, His love, His obedience, His serving others, and indeed His impact on all of history is unlike anyone else that has ever lived on this earth. I think we can begin to understand why John would call Him the only begotten Son of God, the monogenes, as the Greek word is for only begotten, the unique Son of God. There's no one else like Him. You can't compare Him to anyone else because no one else is in His league. He is so unique and so special. More books have been written, songs have been sung, and speeches have been given regarding Jesus Christ than any other person in history. To remember Jesus is the most important responsibility in our lives. To wake up every day and remember Him. To wake up every day and remember that I wake up today as a saved child of God because He died for me. I know how to live today because of the life He lived. And I know my future is secure because of the resurrection of Him from the dead. You know, it is tragic to forget about Jesus Christ. In Jeremiah chapters 18, verse 15, God says, "For my people have forgotten me. They burn incense to worthless gods, and they have stumbled from the ancient paths." Have we forgotten about Jesus Christ? You know, Jeremiah, God says through Jeremiah, "My people have forgotten about me. And they offer incense to all kinds of things." Have we forgotten about Jesus Christ? Do we offer incense? Do we give our time and our energies to other things other than Him? Does He come somewhere underneath all of those things? A continual remembering of Jesus is necessary for successful Christian living. Happiness, peace of mind, and faithful Christian living are possible, are rather impossible without a focus on the life and death of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot find those things unless you dedicate your life to remembering Him, to constantly thinking about Him, to focusing on Him. And that's where so many people fail. They come up from baptism and they go right back and they start doing everything that they do and they forget what got them saved to begin with. That was Jesus Christ. In the past, God impressed upon His people the importance of remembering Him. If you remember in the book of Judges, or Joshua rather, in chapter 4 and verses 1 through 7, as they crossed the Jordan River, God made them stop and build a stone memorial to remind them that they might remember His bringing them into the promised land. We know the many feasts that the Jews had that often remembered things in the past, but the biggest one being the Passover feast, and how that was a memorial to God's deliverance of them from the land of Egypt, from the slavery that they were oppressed under in that land. And we partake of the Lord's Supper every Sunday morning, and it is a memorial. It is just like in the Paschal feast of the Passover, we use unleavened bread. And we remember our deliverance from slavery, the slavery of sin, our deliverance out of a land of death and into the land of living. You know, a daily remembrance of Jesus will strengthen us in our service to Him and better enable us to become more like Him. The remembrance must be found in the pages of God's Word. That's how we come to know the Lord. You can't know the Lord any other way. You can't think about Him. You can't know Him if you haven't studied about Him. You have to go here. This is the book that tells us about Jesus Christ. So many people say, I love Jesus Christ. So many people say, I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. But you ask them about Jesus, they don't know anything about Him. How can you have a relationship with somebody you know nothing about? How can it be close? How can it be meaningful? How can you have a relationship with your spouse if you do not know them? I don't know where she's from. I don't know what her favorite color is. I don't know anything about her. Wouldn't be a very good marriage, would it? Relationships are built on knowing each other. And our relationship with Jesus Christ is going to be because we know Jesus is going to be only as strong as we know Him. We understand what He wants for us. There are three aspects of remembering Jesus that we need to know today. Number one, we must remember the sacrifice of Jesus. We must look back. What was involved in the sacrifice of Jesus? Well, certainly a terrible and a painful death. The Lamb of God was slain upon a cross some 2,000 years ago, and He shed that perfect blood from that perfect life for each and every one of us. And that death was preceded by His suffering at the hands of men. The hands of men beating Him in His face. Hands of men beating Him with whips and rods. And the humiliation and the mockery that came upon Him by the bystanders and the Jewish leaders and the Roman soldiers. Jesus' death was in our stead. I deserve to be on that cross. I should be on that cross. And you should be on that cross. But Jesus went instead. In Isaiah chapter 53, in that wonderful chapter of the suffering servant, 13 times in that chapter, it says that what He did for you or me. He did in our stead. He took our stripes. He took our beatings. He died for us. He died for our sins, for our transgressions. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2 said that He Himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. And that word propitiation, that's one of those preacher people, that's a preacher word. Yeah, it is. All it means is that He paid the price for us. The price that I owed, the price that you owed, He paid. Wages of sin is death, that's what I owed. But Jesus died for me. God has provided the means for us to remember this sacrifice. He has provided the means for us to remember it in God's Word. The New Testament has recorded His sacrifice for mankind for all time. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the words of Jesus Christ will never pass away. As long as this earth stands, there will be a Bible. And it will tell people about Jesus Christ. 93 verses in the New Testament tell us of His suffering on the cross. We also, God has provided the means for us to remember this sacrifice in baptism. Because baptism itself it symbolizes the death, burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That we are buried in that watery grave and we rise just as Jesus Christ rose glorified. Just as He was glorified. We might walk anew. Romans chapter 6 and verse 3 tells us that. Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into His death? Therefore, We have been buried with Him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. There's a death that takes place in baptism. And it is the death of the old man of sin. And that can only take place because Jesus Christ died to make it possible for that man to die. For forgiveness to destroy him once and for all. We also are reminded of Jesus' suffering in Christian worship. We often sing songs about the suffering of our Lord. And we are reminded, if we are singing in the Spirit and the understanding, if we are paying attention to what we're singing, and we're not just going through the motions, or we're not concentrating on our parts or how well we're singing, if we're really paying attention, we're teaching one another in psalms and hymns, then we're going to hear about Jesus Christ dying. We're going to hear about His suffering. And that's going to remind us. And of course, the Lord's Supper. That weekly memorial. The center point of our week. When we take time to remember and honor Him for His sacrifice for us. As we remember the sacrifice of Jesus, we are touched in our heart with humility and gratitude and love. I never want to see somebody living the Christian life because they don't want to go to hell. I want to see people living the Christian life because they love the Savior who died for them. They're grateful to Him. And they realize they owe Him everything. That person will live faithful. Fear will fade. But love grows stronger as the years go by. Second, we must remember the presence of Jesus. Christians must be assured of the daily presence of Jesus in their lives. So we've looked in the past and we've seen the sacrifice of Jesus. Now we want to talk about right now. Right now in the present. And His presence in our lives. We have His promise of being with us. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20. I will be with you even until the end of the age. Jesus Christ will never leave us. He will never forsake us, as Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5 tells us. I know He's there. I have faith that He's there. I never doubt that Jesus Christ is there and that He understands. When I think about Jesus Christ there in Bethany as He goes to Lazarus' tomb in John chapter 11, and it says that He wept. I see a Savior that wept that day for the people that He loved, and I know He loves me, and I know that when I suffer and when I'm going through difficult times, I know He weeps for me still today. I know He has that kind of love for me. And that gives me great assurance in this life. Christians must, we believe rather in the omnipresence of God. Another one of those preacher's words. Just means He's everywhere. Everywhere you are. Christians must remember the power of Jesus' daily presence. Many do not benefit from His presence because they remember His presence on Sunday and they promptly forget Him come Monday morning. But think of all that is available from the presence of Jesus Christ in your life. All power. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19, Jesus said, "All power has been given unto me and unto me in heaven and on earth." What do we, in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, Paul says, "I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me." What do we have to fear from this world while we live in the presence of Jesus Christ? When we think about Elisha in Dothan, on that morning when he woke up, his servant rather woke up, and went outside and the Syrian army was surrounding the village. They were there to get Elisha. Oh, the servant just came unglued. Oh my, what are we going to do? And he went and he got Elisha. Look at this, what are we going to do? We're surrounded by an army. And Elisha said to him, "Do not fear," 2 Kings 6:16. "For those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And he prayed, "Lord, open his eyes that he might see." When he prayed that, the servant's eyes were open and he saw the army of the Lord surrounding the army of the Syrians. And he realized the presence of God. And the army was brought to its knees that day because of the faith of Elisha, that who is with us is stronger than who is with them. We need to remember that. When we want to say and give up and say we've been beaten, we need to remember we can't be beaten. We need to never find ourselves in the shoes of Elijah. I'm the only one. No, you're not. There's another one with you at all times. We also have from Jesus Christ's presence all wisdom. Colossians chapter 2, verses 2 through 3, Paul writes, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love, and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is, Christ Himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. It is in Christ that we learn all the things that are important in this life, the things that will truly see us through. And also, the presence of Jesus Christ provides us all wealth to supply our needs. Matthew chapter 6 tells us that. He clothes the lilies of the field, He'll clothe you. He feeds the birds of the air, He'll feed you, because we are more important than birds and lilies. But He does put a provision on it, doesn't He? But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19, Paul once again writing to the Philippians says, and my God will supply all your needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Do you believe that? Do I believe that? Do I live with that ever in my mind as I think about Jesus every day, and I'm reminded as I think about Him on a daily basis that He is working to bless me? We will find the peace of mind the Bible talks about when we truly believe that. We will find the joy that's inexpressible when we truly believe that and apply it to our lives. A daily remembrance of His presence will lead our lives into better holiness, confidence, and happiness. And this presence of Jesus should be especially remembered in times of temptation and doubt. Oh, we have those temptations that come upon us, and they are strong, and the devil knows exactly where to head us. He knows our weak spots. But we need to remember that He has promised to provide a way of escape for us, that no temptation is more than we can bear, more than we can take. And that Jesus Christ has promised in the present to help us in those temptations. We need to remember that in loneliness and fear. We are never alone as a child of God. And in Christ Jesus, we can overcome all fear. We need to understand the presence of Jesus will give the strength and assurance that we will face, so that we can face this life, rather, successfully. And last of all this evening, we must remember the coming of Jesus. So we've talked about we need to remember Him in the past. We need to remember He's in our present. And He is definitely in our future. And indeed, He is in everybody's future one day. Whether they want Him in the present or not, whether they think about Him in the past, I can guarantee you Jesus Christ is in their future. Because every knee will bow, every tongue will confess, and everyone will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So He is definitely a future event. You know, the early Christians remembered vividly the promise of Jesus' second coming. It was promised by Jesus Himself. It was promised by the angels in Acts chapter 1 when they said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in just the same way that you have watched Him go into heaven. He's going to come back. You need to be ready. The apostles spoke of His return. Peter spoke of His return. Paul spoke of His return. The fervor of the early church lay in part to their belief and hope in an early return by Jesus Christ. There were some that quit work, you know, with the Thessalonians. They just quit and said, well, we'll just sit around here and wait for the Lord to come back. Paul said it doesn't work that way. If you don't work, you don't eat. Get up and get to work. And the Lord will come when He wants to come. Well, we need to remember that the Lord's coming is imminent. It's always imminent. It could always be at any moment. We're not guaranteed to see another decade in this world. We're not guaranteed to see another year. He could come at any time. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10 said that He will come like a thief. And there are no predictions. I know, you know the guys that always got to come up with a date and time. He's coming on this day, and everybody gets all revved up, and the news finally has a story that they can report, I guess, that makes religion look bad. And you know, these guys, they got it all figured out. Maybe, just maybe, those are the safest days, right? Because if we're all expecting him, it's not like a thief, right? So maybe those are the days that you can almost be assured he's not coming those days. But he might come early. Wouldn't be waiting for that day. No one knows except God himself when that day will be. And there are no clues. There are no mathematical equations from the numbers of the Bible that are going to tell you anything about that day. We need to remember his coming. Death is also, you know, even if we're not talking about his return one day, his return in the sky, death is also imminent for each of us. And Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 says, "And inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes the judgment." You know, a conscious fact of this, we need to be conscious of this fact that Jesus Christ and judgment are never more than a heartbeat away. And every moment that we live our lives outside of Christ, every moment that we live our lives in sin, is a moment that we risk eternity in hell. And my friends, I know you hear it. I know people say it. I know people say it in the Lord's church. Oh, grace will cover that. No, it will not. Grace does not cover unrepentant sin. If you don't repent of it, if you don't confess it, there's not a single verse in the Bible that says God will forgive it. Ignoring sin, and there's no statute of limitations. Well, I did that sin 10 years ago. I still have to repent of that. Yes, you do. Absolutely. So we need to understand that. Grace provides the opportunity for salvation. It does not ignore sin. You can take that opportunity or you can leave it. But we need to understand that if we leave it, every breath is a breath closer to hell. Every heartbeat takes us closer to being lost for all eternity. We as Christians ought to long for the day and eagerly await the arrival. Revelation 22:20, you can hear John saying, "Come, Lord Jesus," right? He wanted him to come. I don't know about you, but I'd be just fine to go on home tonight. Now, I know, you know, one time a preacher, they say, got up and he said, "How many of you want to go to heaven?" And everybody stood up but one man. So I kind of bothered the preacher, so he said, "How many of you want to go to heaven?" Everybody stood up again, only except for that one man. He did it a third time. The guy stayed seated again. He said, "Do you not want to go to heaven?" He said, "Yeah, sure, but it sounds like you want to get up a busload tonight." If only. You really want to stay here? Is this world that great to you? You like sickness? You like people mistreating people? You like death? What in the world makes us want to stay here when heaven awaits? Come, Lord Jesus. Come quickly. We need to pray that like John did more often, don't we? I'm ready to go home. You know, it will also be a time of resurrection that our loved ones in Christ will be reunited with them. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16, "For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first." My loved ones that have died in Christ will rise first, and I get to join them in the air. I look forward to that day. David looked forward to that day, did he not? He said, "I cannot do anything about the fact that his son had died, but I can go and be with him," right? So can we. It will be a time of reward. Paul talked about that time as he neared the end of his life. He was ready to be poured out as an offering to God. He'd fought the good fight. He finished the course. He kept the faith. And he said, "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which Jesus Christ, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not to me only, but to all who love his appearing." See, that love his appearing, that's people that are ready for it to happen, right? We love that day. We love the thought of that day. As a kid, I used to be terrified of that. Ooh, judgment day, that's scary. But after 41 years on this earth, I love the thought of that day. I love the thought of being with Jesus Christ, going home with God. Love that thought. And we need to all love it as well. It will be a release from the suffering and the pain of this world as we exist in a sinless heaven with God. Let us do our best to forget the unimportant things of this life. And there are so many. How many things did you think were important last week that you can't even remember today? Oh, some point last week you just had, oh, that thing was just the thing that had to be done. And now you're going, what was that? Right? Let me tell you what, if you can't remember it today, I don't think it was all that important to begin with, probably. We think so many things are important, so many things demand our attention, and yet if something happens with our family or some loved one is in the hospital, we can set all those important things aside, can't we, and go right to the hospital. Because they really weren't as important as we really made them up to be. May we do our best to forget the unimportant things of this life and remember and never forget Jesus' past sacrifice on behalf of us. His present nearness to us as Christians. And His future coming for us to take us to our eternal reward. Remembering these truths will keep us close to Him and prepare us for a life with Him here on earth and a life with Him for all eternity in our heavenly reward. This evening, if you have not given your life to this one that we remember, the one person in this life that we want to remember every day, that is Jesus Christ, if you have not given your life to Him, we hope and pray that you will do so. If you have not obeyed His gospel, then you are not prepared for His coming. And we hope and pray that you will obey it this evening. If you do not know what that gospel is this evening, then please seek out anyone here in this congregation and tell them you want to know about the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we'll be glad to sit down with you and tell you the good news of salvation. If you're a child of God tonight, maybe you haven't been remembering Him. Maybe you are a person that remembers Him on Sunday, but by tomorrow morning when you get to work, you've already forgotten Him and you won't remember Him till next Sunday, or unless something bad happens in your life and you need Him. Remember Him. Remember Him every day, every moment, and repent for having forgotten about Him even for a moment, even for a day, because He deserves better. If we can assist you in any way this evening in remembering our Lord and living for Him, won't you let us as we stand and as we sing.